We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time for Ken Laird.
Ken, do you want to weigh in on that?
Ken Laird. Ken Fake Take Laird.
And Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Nick, what's up, baby?
Nick,
how we doing?
All right, Tom Brady just said, Nick, what's up, baby? Let me check that off my bucket list. Awesome.
Hey, what else you got on there? Let's max some of these off while you got me.
Yeah. All right, Tom.
Laird and Fitzy on WEEI.
Oh, those were the good old days when Fitzy was a Brady fan. Didn't stab him in the back repeatedly since he left town. Things have changed. How things have changed. Is this amateur hour? Again, Fitzy.
My mic is on.
Oh, there you are.
Bridget had me potted up on the wrong station. Is this amateur hour? What is this, amateur hour? What movie is that from, Ken?
I don't know.
Anchorman.
Oh, Anchorman.
Come on.
Yeah,
see?
That's an obscure Anchorman drop.
No, it's not. You know I don't speak Spanish.
What's happening, bud?
Welcome to our glass case of emotion. You know, Ken, these are interesting times. These are very interesting times indeed. You and I were just talking before we sat down about how as much effort we put into it, it feels as though the walls of COVID-19 are closing in on all of us. No matter how clean you keep it, how you obey your protocols, we are nothing but a couple of members of the Rebel Alliance in stormtrooper garb, helmets off. And the trash compactor is closing in on us.
Closing in on college football, too. I don't want to be Mr. Negative.
What happened with Trevor Lawrence, by the way? I saw that tweet earlier.
What happened with him? Well, their game got pushed.
Oh, they did. Okay.
I think he's fine. He was supposed to play.
No, his tweet was, man, we were ready to play. I was curious that was
something. They arrived at the stadium and one lineman had tested positive, or his wife had or something, so they were unclear as to whether he had close contacts. There's also, you got to love this.
What's that?
East Carolina at Temple game delayed because a Temple player who had a girlfriend apparently who just tested positive. The player was taken back to campus. If he tests positive, then the game would not be played. So it's literally in the balance. It's a cascade of like contact tracing and total mess.
Well, dare I say then, with so many college games hanging in the balance today, possibly being canceled or already having been canceled, and the season almost being in the balance, that maybe the NFL is actually doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, somehow they're pushing on. Of course, the Browns may not agree with losing the best pass rusher in the league.
How did your tryout for the Raiders defense go, by the way?
Yeah, they have 8 guys in quarantine?
The whole starting defense.
But that's big for the Patriots. We'll discuss here as the show goes on. 6-3 Raiders, 6-3 Browns.
That's right.
If there's a path to the playoffs, it involves those teams stumbling or you catching them at 10 wins.
You betcha.
So that's all to go. We are with you until 4 o'clock. A rare expert out of the shoot today. Typically, we start with random opinions and Fitzy babbling, but Lance Zierlein was a favorite of ours during the draft.
Yes.
Came on, and he's an NFL.com draft guy. He's also a co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston, so he's talking Texans 5 days a week down there. It's a strange Texans team.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, I would say I wouldn't worry about this game. It's a favorable Patriots matchup, except for the fact that the former Belichick coaches have done pretty well, especially recently, against Bill.
Yes.
Matt Patricia, of course, famously here, Brian Flores at the end of last year. I don't think Crennel's got much head-to-head success against Bill.
Last time I can remember Rack coaching against Belichick, I want to say 2007 when Romeo was with the Browns. Patriots went perfect that season. And I'll say this. Aside from the word this, on paper, there's every reason to think that the Patriots should be able to push them around tomorrow because you've got one of the 5 best rushing offenses and a killer offensive line going against the worst, rock bottom rush defense in the National Football League. But Deshaun Watson gives the Patriots fits. He plays them tight.
Yeah, and he's had a pretty good year statistically. We'll find out here from Lance how that is going on the radio. .com hotline. Let's bring Lance on to the program here to start Laird and Fitzy. How are you, Lance? Thanks for coming on. I know you got a busy Saturday ahead of you, college football watching. We appreciate the time.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You bet.
What's the view of the Texans there? Obviously, they're 2-7. It's not been a good season, but are they a threat to New England tomorrow?
Well, I mean, I think you guys laid it out pretty well. Defensively, their secondary is not good. They don't stop the run. So, I mean, you know, I don't know that New England is the team to really, you know, exploit the secondary on a consistent basis. Ground, there's no question. And I think if you commit to the run, if we know that the Patriots will commit to the run in any given game, if they feel like there's a weakness, I think that is something that, you know, in terms of the style of running, you know, kind of the bullying mentality of the Patriots run game. And you talked about the advantage they have from an offensive front against the defensive front standpoint. That's a problem for Houston. There's no question. I think the one area that Houston, you know, is looking at potentially being able to strike is that they do have some weapons. Will Fuller is a guy who can stretch the field. Deshaun Watson is making plays right now. And I think the real key for the Texans is, I think for them, they've got to get Brandon Cooks involved, former Patriot, and then they've got to get the tight ends involved in the offense. When Deshaun is at his best, he is not afraid to search for tight ends and involve them in the offense. And Brandon Cooks is another guy that I think still has some ability and can still make some plays. You've got to get him involved early on. I'd say the Texans need to try and establish a run, but it just hasn't been that kind of year this year. They really don't have a running back like Carlos Hyde like they had last year, who was a really, frankly, more than serviceable running back for the Texans. And I think that's a big part of why the Texans are inconsistent right now, at least on the offensive side at times, is because they can't really, they really can't count on the running game.
So the Patriots enter the game 4-5, Lance, and the math for them boils down pretty simply. In the four games they've won, they haven't turned the ball over and or they've won the turnover battle. In the five games they've lost,
right, they
lose the turnover battle. So it's pretty basic math if you want to look at it that way. And I know Houston doesn't really take the ball away very much. I'm curious, though, just don't have the playmakers in the secondary or in the middle of the field. But when fans around here think Houston, they think J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless disrupting the backfield, getting in, making plays. But doesn't sound like they're the same horses that they used to be. What's the issue on defense up front for them?
I think, well, Whitney Merciless is just a guy right now. He's substantially overpaid. I think most smart organizations would have, and Whitney's a great guy, good teammate, all that stuff. But, you know, a smart organization, a team with a good front office would have let Whitney Merciless walk when he was up, and that would have been that. You would have looked to, you know, draft and grow your own and have somebody cheaper at the position. They chose to give him an extension, and really they're not getting even remotely close to anything that they paid for there. J.J. Watt still has his moments. He's just not making as many impact plays on the stat sheet, but he does still flash, and he does still, you know, you're gonna notice him tomorrow, that's for sure. Right now, though, he's in kind of a bad headspace. He wants out of Houston. He wants to go to a team that's going to compete, and this has been a highly, you know, unhappy season for J.J. Watt. I can tell you that. And I would look for him to be moved at some point in the offseason. I think there's a very real possibility of that. But you'll notice him tomorrow. Like, J.J. is not a guy who just shrinks on the field. But the problem has been he just isn't making as many impact plays as he once did.
We're joined by Lance Zierlein on the Harbor One Hotline here on Laird and Fitzy on Sports Radio WEEI. Hey, Lance, you're a draft guru. We had you on before the draft. It was great stuff. I remember talking Stidham. As far as the Patriots draft goes this year, last week may have been Kyle Duggar and Josh Uche's best game. They were showing up. The sixth-round lineman they took in Wenyu's been good. The kicker's been a disaster. But the tight ends in particular, were you surprised they took those two guys, Devin Asiasi and Dalton Kuechly? And do you think they'll amount to anything? Because right now they've gotten zero production out of either.
Yeah, I still think. I know Izzo is a guy that they trust over there. Dalton Kuechly is just a different kind of guy. He was Dalton is in on, and we know that when it comes to Bill Belichick, he's not afraid to. He's got his own opinions on guys. Now, Asiasi to me was extremely talented. He's just very hit or miss at times, but there's no question about his talent, and I thought he'd be a great fit for the Patriots. So I would sit tight on Devin Asiasi. As far as Dalton Kuechly, you know, he's an aggressive blocker. He has some flashes of ability. I just didn't see him as a pure tight end. I mean, he just felt more like a wingback
you know, fullback block. He's kind of a hybrid of being a fullback or a wingback. I mean, his most impressive tape was as a blocker and a finisher. But so I would give it time on those two guys. I know you're not getting – the tight end position has been instant production for the Patriots over the past from a draft standpoint for the most part. This is one where Asiasi probably needs some more time. And then, you know, with Keene, I don't know. I don't know if he's playing special teams or not, because that's something where he does, I think, have some ability in the future. The other guys you mentioned, I've really been impressed with the Michigan kid, the Michigan guard, who's been able to bump outside and play some tackle too.
Yeah.
And then Duggar, I had no doubt about. And Uche, you know, Uche for me was going to be I liked him. I didn't love him. So I'm really curious to see how he ends up doing there with the Patriots outside, because he's not a real long guy.
Yeah, he's a little shorter, but he plays pretty quick, and they actually even used him last week to almost kind of, I won't say spy Lamar Jackson, but they used him in the containment shell that they put together, which seemed to work, and it's been interesting to watch Bill actually trust the young guys, because it's been a little bit need-based, and it's also matchup-dependent. Might be the same case tomorrow when they face Watson, who's pretty quick. I'm curious, right, though, Lance, what you think about, or can you just let us know what the people in Houston think of Jack Easterby? We've been trying to make heads and tails of it up this way. Some people wonder if he's kind of a charlatan, or if he's kind of this weird guy who's found his way into like being a personnel man now. But then yesterday I was talking to Jason McCourty on the midday program, and he said that he is one of the highest character guys, what an impact he made in his life, and swears by him and says he's just absolutely aces. What's the feeling down there on him?
You know, I tell you, it is really, because I have some, you know, I have friends in the league, and so this has been an interesting topic. For me, as somebody who hosts a sports talk show, grew up, you know, really my whole life in Houston, I've seen everything. And I've covered the team since their inception. You know, here's the thing. When I talk to people around the league, they actually have pretty good things to say about Jack Easterby. Now, a lot of them don't necessarily trust Jack a lot, you know, because they know he's a climber and he's a guy who wants to move up the ladder. And that's something he did from Kansas City to New England, and then, you know, had a shot to go with Josh McDaniels. He was going to go with Josh McDaniels to the Colts. And then that, you know, that ended up going nowhere. And then he found his way with Bill O'Brien. But it's funny, because football people do, they do have good things to say about him. No one says he's a bad guy or this, that, and the other. But this is what I know. He helped to put a knife in the back of Brian Gain, who was a one-year GM, and then he and Bill O'Brien ended up incorporating all the power. I know that there were issues, you know, in terms of him with his resume, in terms of dressing up his resume. Well, I think at the end of the day, and right now, I think there is a big concern that he is going to really have a lot of say-so. Listen, I know for a fact he was in on the moves with Bill O'Brien. He was definitely in on those moves. He was the one banging the table for Laramie Tunsil trade before there was a contract in place, which gave the Texans zero leverage. Zero. He was responsible for some bad moves along with Bill O'Brien, and he's trying to distance himself in the background away from those moves. And I don't have a lot of respect for that. I mean, if you do something, stand up and say you did it. I don't have a lot of, as a guy who's a coach's son, my dad coached in the NFL for years, I don't have a lot of respect for a guy who doesn't work together in the stuff that happened with, you know, he ended up being the guy who got rid of Bill O'Brien. I think it needed to happen. The city of Houston's thankful for that. Gang stuff really rubs me the wrong way, and he's not a personnel guy. See, I've got friends in the league, a guy like Alonzo Highsmith, he's in the league. Never had even an interview for a GM position. And here's Jack Easterby, executive vice president of football, with really nothing in his background that says he's a football guy to take on that mantra. I'm not saying he doesn't have value, and I'm not saying he's not maybe a good guy in an organization in the right capacity. But I think what he wants to do, which is salary cap stuff, be involved with the personnel people, I don't think that's for him. I think you need to let people who are accomplished in that handle those roles. And honestly, he doesn't have a great name here in Houston. He really doesn't. I mean, you know, I'm not letting him off the hook for the moves that he made. He's not getting off the hook for me. You can't have all the power and take none of the bullets. You can't have all the power and have no spotlight on you when you have done things that you should be accountable for. And I, You know, that's what bothers me. And listen, I consider myself to be a very fair person, and if he does a good job moving forward, I'll be the first one to say it. But up to this point, he's been part of a failed, duo of power with Bill O'Brien, and it just looks like he's a guy who's hell-bent on trying to climb the ladder and who has the owner's ear. And that's going to make me concerned, because I think the Texans are in a terrible place right now. I think the Jets are in a better spot than the Texans, because at least you have draft picks. At least you have Trevor Lawrence coming up. At least you have a chance to rebuild. The Texans are right now in a purgatory, and you'll see it on Sunday.
Wow. And real quick, Lance, to follow up on that, how about the Nick Caserio reports, the tampering? Was Easterby involved in that? How close were they to getting Caserio there?
Well, that's what I don't know how close they got, but I do know that there was some concern from what I've heard from some people around the league on the Patriots side that Jack was tampering. People bring up who will be the next general manager, and there's a Corn Ferry and Jed Hughes is the search committee, but I don't know if Jack is going to stay out of that. My guess is he's not, and he's going to be involved, and I don't think the football guys who are in football right now are going to want to be there with Jack Easterby, because the fear is going to be he can go to the owner anytime he wants. Now, Caserio knows Jack, and I actually think it makes it less likely that he would even consider the Texans. Texans, this is really not a great position either for a general manager. Now, I have heard a rumor about former Patriot, the guy who was there before with you guys, Scott Pioli. Hmm. I have heard that Scott Pioli is a name that you might want to keep an eye on here for the Texans job, because he and Jack might see this as a chance for them to work together, even though Jack will not be the general manager. So as far as Caserio is concerned, he's like a friend of mine, Chris Ballard. Ballard waited for the job he wanted. He didn't rush into it. And Nick Caserio has done the same thing over the years, I think. And, of course, he was going to be blocked last year anyway. But Nick is going to pick and choose the right job for him, that's for sure.
Thanks for the time, Lance. Good insight. Really appreciate it. Hope to talk again.
Okay, thanks, guys.
At the draft.
Great stuff, Lance. Happy Thanksgiving, man.
That's Lance Zierlein, NFL.com draft analyst and co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston. Yeah, the Easterby story is just bizarre.
It is.
He is either loved or hated. Like, I feel like Brady was pretty tight with him, right? Wasn't that the perception? At least they were seen hugging after one of the Super Bowls and big embrace. And Pioli's the guy that brought Easterby in, I believe, initially to the Patriots organization as like team chaplain and some sort of building character building.
Because he got to know him in Kansas City, right?
I think
that's recommended
true.
He gave him the rec to come over to the Patriots, and he was here. And like I said, Jason McCourty yesterday, Rich Keefe made a point of asking about him, and he couldn't have said anything. He sung his praises. He was at his wedding.
Yeah, he's obviously got some leadership skills and personality that attaches to certain people.
But what business does he have being a general manager or in a position of power and personnel? Like, this just seems that's why it's interesting, because Lance, who has his Houston football bona fides, says he flat out doesn't trust him.
Yeah. Belichick has praised Caserio this year, at least the one answer, profusely, at the trade deadline. It all goes through Nick. I wonder how important Caserio is to Belichick. He only speaks to the media when it serves his benefit. He did that again this week, by the way, with Gilmore, which we got to get to coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But
bags are packed.
Is he worried about Caserio leaving at the end of the year? Is that why he's directing all personnel transactions? That all goes through Nick, trying to pump his tires a little bit. I wonder about McDaniels. Are they worried about him leaving? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts at the end of this season, to be honest, with the Patriots.
There could be massive turnover on the Patriots. You may lose McDaniels. Caserio could finally go. I mean, wasn't there like a one-year extension, and Easterby tried to poach him back at the Super Bowl celebration?
Right.
And the thought was that maybe after this season he'd be able to move on, hopefully without acrimony. But I think Belichick would be in a pretty tight spot, because as it is, there are plenty of questions about his personnel decisions, and then to lose one of his guys, one of his trusted allies. Although, didn't Houston say there will be no further New England ties going forward?
Did they?
Yes. I think I heard something this week along the lines of Houston said if it comes down to the coaching search or personnel people, that they're not going to continue to try to be Patriots South.
It would make sense. It hasn't worked. As he said, they're in a terrible spot. Maybe later we get Lance back and talk to him about the draft class of 2021, because that's what the Patriots are possibly blowing. He used that word purgatory. And if they fight valiantly and finish 8-8 or 9-7 to miss the postseason and still miss out on these top four quarterbacks?
There's a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft. Everyone only thinks there's three or four. I think there's more than that. And I think the Patriots, you know me, Ken. If there's anything, I want to see this team go tooth and nail, claw and hammer all the way down to the wire trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they will. I mean, based on their schedule, and you hear Lance talk about the Texans, they're going to roll tomorrow. I don't even think this is close. Somehow they've hung in there with the Titans and the Browns, so it's not like the Texans have collapsed.
The Browns' offense is wildly inconsistent.
Yeah.
I mean, but they did run for over 230 yards on the Texans last week.
Yeah, and that's going to happen again tomorrow.
That's definitely going to happen again tomorrow.
And the Texans can't run the ball. So
nope, because they don't have David Johnson. David Johnson can be found exactly where you would think to find him, on the shelf and in the IR spot on your fantasy team.
Meanwhile, Hopkins is pulling in one-on-three catches Arizona after they traded him.
Is there a worse trade of all time? I think Zuerlein was saying they're in purgatory because they dealt two first-round picks for Tunsil. Then they offer him this massive extension, like he said, took away their own leverage, basically bid against themselves. Terrible trade for David Johnson in a second for arguably the best wide receiver in all of football. Giant contract for Merciless when they should have let him walk. Yep. See, this is when you have to appreciate the cold, calculating nature of Belichick. Moving on a year too soon as opposed to a year too late.
I think that may be a good place to start today on the Laird and Fitzy Spectacular here on the 21st of November. Purgatory. Are the Patriots in the same kind of spot that the Texans are in with some parts, but you know, they're not good enough to win? Or do you feel like it's a team on the rise? The draft classes of late have been ridiculed more than they should have been, and this is actually a team that, you know, is a threat and will make the playoffs this year. 617-779-7937. Because if they win tomorrow, as expected, they are 5-5, and life seems interesting. I mean,
especially if you can get a Cleveland and a Raiders loss, you're one game out of the wild card.
Right.
Not bad. And Ken, this all comes on the heels of us talking to Lance about how Kyle Duggar is ascending. Winovich is playing some great football now.
That is huge. That is the biggest development.
They moved him off the ball, and they put him in the Brewski role, and now look what's happening. He's flourishing. He's flying all over the field.
That's
man's got energy to spare, and that's
Duggar
great.
Duggar looks good. I mean,
he's a heat seeker.
He said he had no doubts about Duggar. I did. I mean,
right.
I flat out mocked the move.
Looks like he's a grown-ass man out there. But,
looks like it.
You know, you've got, Ken, you've got these guys all ascending now, some really, really important parts in recent drafts, flourishing as Belichick has taken the training wheels off the kids. And then at the same time, there's a day like today where it's like, and Frohol and Derek Rivers got released. And you know, Derek Rivers.
That's true.
Taken one spot before Godwin, 13 before Galladay. Ugh.
So Froholt was what round was he taking last year?
He was a fourth rounder last year.
They just released their fourth rounder last year.
I think he's a candidate to go back to the practice squad, which tells me also that Justin Heron, or Heron, however you pronounce it, we can call the whole thing off if you want, that he's probably, I know he's a candidate to come back soon. I bet he's trending in the right direction, so we'll see.
Froholt was taken ahead of Stidham in the fourth round.
So I trust
Stidham might be cut by the end of the day.
I'll tell you what, right now, I'll put this one out there. Keep it clean. 3-2-1. Jarrett Stidham will not be on the Patriots next year.
Oh, Jesus. So you agree with the Laird man. Cam Newton is your starter, locking in for 2021. The big column of the week.
Boom sauce.
Not even a question. Okay, thank you.
By the way, rock solid last couple of weeks for your old pal Fitzy and the Laird man on the columns.
I agree. We're locked in lockstep, which is terrible radio.
You're welcome, Bradford.
Mike in West Roxbury launches us here today on the phone lines. How are you, Mike?
Hey, 50, shower biz.
Hey, shower biz to you, guy. How's it going?
Pretty good, Ken. You know I feel about you. I call him Greg Show all the time. But
that's fine.
I just want to say, so the Pats are still only a 3-point favorite right now, which is ridiculous to me. I would put all my money on that. And for a margin of victory for them to win by 8 to 10, it's minus 425, and I'm taking that all day.
Ooh, I like that. I really do. I like that action. I like that action a lot. I think a 10-point, I heard earlier Andy Hart said 24-14. I'm thinking maybe 31-20.
I would definitely do the 8 to 10 for minus 425. That's what I get on BetUS.
That's a nice piece. That's a nice piece right there. How do you feel, Mike? So you're a diehard like me. You've got all the faith in the world in Belichick, Foxborough fanboy. How do you feel about the way you're watching this team trend the last couple of weeks?
I mean, I'm liking it, but obviously we still need some teams to lose. And, I mean, I think we'll definitely win tomorrow. And then we got Arizona, which if we can win Arizona and obviously get a couple losses, our chances are definitely looking a lot better.
And thanks, Mike. And speaking of Arizona, the shoulder of Kyler Murray did not look 100%.
Uh-uh.
I know they got a long week now to prepare for the Patriots, but still, that game looks a lot more winnable after their Thursday night defeat to me and just the way they played.
They didn't play well going
into it, no.
Kyler Murray, he looked very – I was saying yesterday, like, I was shocked at how many times he made the wrong call on the RPO. He kept the ball a couple times when he could have easily handed it off to Edmonds or Drake, and they would have had big runs up the gut, and then he handed the ball off when he could have easily booted to the side. Like, I don't know. He was, you know, I'm not going to say, like, he was in a fog the same way that Cam Newton was for those couple of games. By the way, mm-hmm. I think we have to address that because I think that is R-E-A-L for real.
I do, too. I also want, coming up, I want you to explain the Gilmore situation. What actually is going on behind the scenes? Because I think it's bizarre.
I got it.
And this Joe Judge quote and how he views Tom Brady, which I think does reflect on the views of Bill Belichick towards Tom Brady. We will discuss that if you have missed that story on the way next. But first, we find out what's trending on WEI.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
T-Mobile and WEI want to help move small business forward. Enter your business for a chance to win a free advertising campaign. Go to WEI.com/T-Mobile. College football action right now. Ohio State 14, Indiana 7. And pretty much every game of note has been postponed, canceled, or removed. Florida Vanderbilt, 16-10 Florida right now. But still, a COVID mess in college football, to say the least. Nothing new on the Gordon Hayward front. We will be following it all day here on the program.
Just would they just go ahead and make the damn decision already? Just what is Indiana holding out for?
Well,
they don't want to give up.
I think Danny
Turner,
Ainge,
right?
Is holding out,
right?
Because Ainge has some leverage here.
He does.
Indiana can't sign him on their own.
Nope.
They need the sign and trade.
Yep.
So therefore, Ainge has a little bit of hand. Although I guess if he overplays it, Hayward could go to the Knicks or somewhere else and just.
He could get impatient.
The
Knicks,
that way.
The Knicks, who just lost out on Van Vliet, could say, hey,
right,
here's a max deal. Next thing you know, he blows it. So, yes, he does have the upper hand right now, but he doesn't want to overplay that hand because you've got an asset. And that would be, I'm going to tell you, if they could get Turner plus one, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Turner and Oladipo or Turner and T.J. Warren, that would mm-hmm. be a pretty good return.
Great.
Fred Van Vliet has, as Fitzy has mentioned, agreed to a 4-year, $85 million deal to stay in Toronto, to return to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Some other signings around the league, but nothing blockbuster here at this time. Sony Michel activated off IR before the Pats traveled to Houston, and it looks like he'll be ready to go. A little tandem with Damian Harris tomorrow. Red Sox finalizing their coaching staff as well. Will Venable as the third base coach, and Jason Veritek has a title that nobody's quite sure what he's doing. Game planning coordinator.
Sure.
He is the new Jack Easterby of the Boston Red Sox. It's Laird and Fitzy. We continue coming up.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
And Fitzy, well, literally, as we went to break, a bombshell, a, no pun intended, a Woj bomb comes down. Free agent Gordon Hayward is signing a 4-year, $120 million deal with the Charlotte Hornets.
Curtis voice. Wow!
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program This is Breaking News, brought to you by Northeast Insurance, a proud sponsor of Clear Path for Veterans New England.
Woj also pointing out that Hayward signed an offer sheet with Charlotte in 2014 as a restricted free agent, which Utah matched and kept him. This time, Charlotte gets Gordon Hayward.
Man, that is some coin.
That is amazing.
$120 million to go be on a team that's going to finish ninth in the conference.
Yeah, of all this, I had no idea how it was going to work out, but it felt like he was going to go, per reports, to Indiana for like 4 years, 100. And less per season than the $34 million he left on the table here.
Yeah, Ken, where this makes no sense to me, because if a couple extra million dollars a season makes you that much happier when you just moved your family back to Indiana, you're from the area, you know the team is desperate to have you, your kids are in school there, and so now you go play in Charlotte? Man, he must be a killer cat. He must just be, like, he must just be all about the money. Well, I'm shocked. I am shocked.
I will say Charlotte is a very nice area to live. I live down there, and I can see why he would want to move down there.
Listen, I got family down in Charlotte. I love it.
What happened to the house he just built in Indiana?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I love it. It's a beautiful area. There's some great breweries down there, by the way.
There is. I've been to a few. Geez.
Well, come on, Ken. We're just doing what we're doing.
Well, the Celtics just lost a max player for the second year in a row. And at the moment, I don't know this for sure.
We are efforting.
But this appears to be in return for nothing, right? Zilch. There's no sign of trade here. He just left as a free agent.
We got to figure this out, because I immediately, as I am wont and often to do, overreacted, hot-taked it out on Twitter and said, hey, awesome, Ainge blew it. And one or two people wrote back, well, hold tight. Hold your horses there, Fitz. Pump the brakes, because it appears as though the Hornets only have $19 million in cap space, Ken. So how can they sign somebody for $30 million a year? You're not making the math work.
Okay. That could be the case. I've seen a few Celtics beat writers speculate Cody Zeller could be a name.
Who in the hell is Cody Zeller?
He's a seven-footer.
Wow, that'll solve all of our... Hey, guys, don't worry. We didn't get Miles Turner. We didn't get Oladipo. Wow. We got Cody Zeller.
Cody Zeller last year, if indeed he's part of the mix, at age 27, averaged 11 points a game.
Oh wow!
Seven rebounds a game, and half a block. He's not.
Watch out, Bam Adebayo. Cody Zeller might be coming to the Celtics.
But at this point, you're like praying Cody Zeller's involved just to make it palatable.
You know, see, we were talking about it off the air. We're talking about it a little bit on the air. I thought Danny Ainge was overplaying his hand. I knew he had the leverage. I knew he had the advantage. But when you've got a chance to get rid of a guy who doesn't want to be here anymore and you owe a ton of money to, and he is telling you, I would rather leave than play for this giant amount of money, and someone is willing to offer you a starter, a really good ball player, and maybe a backup, something to fill out the bench, maybe some depth, which you don't really have, and it showed in the playoffs in the bubble just a few months ago, or maybe a draft pick, and you don't do it, he blew it. Blew it.
Well, with Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, this is the third player the Celtics have lost in free agency at the moment with what we believe is zero return. Obviously, need your reaction to this. 617-779-7937. Ainge gets a lot of pass. This has been a topic on the show this week. In fact, we had Jeff Goodman on, Fitzy, who made the case that big names don't want to come to Boston. Just point blank, period.
Yep.
They're not getting elite players. Gordon Hayward, when he signed here, correct me if I'm wrong, was viewed as like the biggest free agent signing in
massive.
Celtics history.
I couldn't believe that they got him here.
He was wooed, even though the fans were cascading with cheers on his Utah visits prior to the signing.
Don't forget, he said he came here because he had, quote, unfinished business with Coach Brad Stevens.
Right. How's this make Stevens look, too? That's his coach from Indiana, from Butler. It's
brutal.
It is obviously a shot at Ainge. Now, if that's true, first of all, do you agree with that premise? Big name free agents don't want to come here.
To a degree, and I think it's a combination of the Celtics sort of created their own moat of distrust, if you will, that nobody wants to climb, or a bridge rather, because the Isaiah Thomas trade, like, this guy plays after his sister passes away. His jaw is hanging off, and he's hanging 55 on the Wizards and playing through all of it. Oh, hey, your reward for that? We shipped you out for Kyrie. So I think that did damage to them. And let's be honest, Charlotte, a little bit more temperate, a little nicer than Boston. Plus, we don't do ourselves any favors because the second you arrive here, it's like, awesome. Can you help us win a championship? We'll see. All right, you suck.
But if that's like, if there's some truth to that, then Ainge gets, he deserves a pass because he's dealing, you know, he's operating without a complete deck at his arsenal. So
no, but he's helped create this idea by trade. Like, I think the Isaiah Thomas trade did damage. And then, of course, Kyrie leaving doesn't help at all. Like, why can't they hold on to their stars? Why did Horford want to bail?
So
did he bail because Kyrie? Why did Kyrie bail? Because he's crazy? Because he's a narcissist? Because he just can't be trusted? What is it?
He wanted to play in New York, I think.
He wanted to play in New York. No, he didn't like the kids either, it seems.
Maybe.
Maybe that what we thought was the best thing that could have happened following Kyrie's injuries and the Gordon Hayward catastrophic injury was the ascension of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who grew up way faster than we could have possibly thought. I mean, that's supposed to be viewed as a positive. But now, in some cases, or at least to some people, it seems to be a negative.
Well, again, everybody's speculating that there's got to be another shoe to drop here. Like, for Charlotte to add Gordon Hayward to this amount of money, they have to free up. Well, first of all, they probably have to work out a sign and trade just to get him to that value.
Okay, just tweeted out by Kevin O'Connor, a very reliable Hoops source. Very proud of this guy. He's done very well for himself. Here we go. That's a lot of money for Gordon Hayward after his last three seasons in Boston. Still a good player, though, and he's shown flashes of being the old Hayward. I hope he can tap into that with the Hornets, and undoubtedly a missed chance for the Celtics to recoup assets from the Pacers. I am starting to think that this may just be a clean departure. The old cashola grab for Gordy H.
My God.
If they don't get anything...
There'll be no defending Ainge on that.
No.
That's not a...
Pack your bags.
That's not a Boston problem. That's an Ainge problem.
Pack your decaffeinated coffee in your bags and hit the road.
But they're not going to fire him. It's all about Tatum and surrounding him with talent, and they'll just give him another chance to try to build around Tatum with the two new draft picks.
If there is nothing in return, this would be... I don't throw the word catastrophic around too freely, Ken. This would be bad. This would be very... This is heading Ghostbusters. This would be very bad.
Separate deal just announced via Shams. Former Celtic Avery Bradley agreeing to a deal with the Miami Heat. 2 years and $12 million. So.
Oh, good, because we were able to penetrate their defense already. Now they had one of the best perimeter defenders in the game. Awesome.
All right, to the phones we go. Anthony in the car. Hello, Anthony.
Hi, how you doing?
Awesome.
I just wanted to talk about what you guys were just saying, and I think that definitely the Isaiah Thomas thing has something to do with it. Didn't Anthony Davis' father say that he didn't want his son coming over to Boston because of how they did Isaiah Thomas? And also, I think Danny Ainge has gotten a pass for almost 20 years. Like, anybody else in this town, they would have got rid of him if you only got one championship to show for almost 20 years of work. And I hear people saying, well, give him time, give him another couple years to develop. Like, it's getting ridiculous at this point. When do you guys finally just say, you know what, he's not doing the job. Yeah, he was a great Celtic, but we got to try to do something so we can get a championship. Because if you don't, I think Jason Tatum is going to skate on y'all.
Well, they were hoping last night, thank you for the call, Anthony. Last night they were hoping at like 6:01 the max deal or super max deal would be announced for Tatum. Haven't heard about that yet. We continue to share and relay social media explaining this because Lord knows as much as Ken and I try to understand how this works, we don't. This from Chris Forsberg, Ken. Unless Charlotte can free necessary cap space for Hayward's deal, the Celtics could still recoup assets in a sign-and-trade. Boston did facilitate the sign-and-trade of Terry Rozier to the Hornets a year ago.
Okay.
Let's get a basketball guy on. We need somebody here. Like, I feel like I'm trying to interpret Greek right now. How does this work?
Well, it's not that difficult. I mean,
you got to match up the salaries. I understand that.
Well, but obviously, you know, the Celtics own his bird rights, and they have the ability. The deal that Gordon Hayward can sign, a deal of that magnitude, most teams can't do without a sign a trade. I don't know how much. Well, people are saying they didn't have the cap space, so but possibly they freed that up before the trade happened in order to make the deal. Something's going to come out one way or the other, whether the Celtics were involved or whether Charlotte had other moves preceding this signing,
right,
in straight free agency.
Maybe, yeah, what if Charlotte just deals away? What if Charlotte deals away Tyler Zeller or whoever the hell else is on the bench there?
Cody Zeller. Tyler Zeller.
Cody Zeller.
It's an important distinction.
Fuzzy Zeller.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. What's up, Matt?
You stole my Fuzzy Zeller joke. But, no, how you doing, guys, this afternoon? You know, I guess it was pretty naive of me to think that Gordon was going to have some loyalty to Brad Stevens. And I thought they were going to, I know that's pretty dumb. That's pretty dumb to say. But I thought they were going to work a deal out, as you guys were talking about, a sign and trade to Indianapolis. I mean, I don't understand how that didn't get done. I guess we'll maybe find out the details. But I knew Atlanta. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it could be straight money, right? The rumor deal was 4 years, $100 million there. This is $20 million extra. So maybe Gordon Hayward was like, forget it. I'll go to Charlotte.
Yeah, if you're going to drag your feet and you're going to be bickering with Indiana, the hell with it. I'll get more money that way. He can buy a private plane to fly home to Indiana all the time, right. Matt.
Right. Supposedly Atlanta was in the mix too with a big money. I guess I mistook Gordon Hayward. I mean, the way he plays in the court so unselfishly, seemed like a team player. Obviously had, you know, has been with Brad Stevens, you know, most of his, you know, his college career. And you know, I'm just really disappointed in this whole thing. I'm coming out empty handed with this, you know, with the Kyrie thing. It was just like, all right, let's move this guy out of here. But, Danny Ainge, man, I just don't know. He's just really disappointed. Sorry.
Thanks for the call, Matt. All right, well, we got your hoops expert on. Keith is standing by. You want Keith on the line now?
Heck yeah.
He would be the de facto NBA expert of WEEI, and he's joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline on a weekend. Your buddy Fitzy's here, Keith. We appreciate it on short notice.
Terrible news. Terrible news. Now, obviously, there's a chance there could still be some sort of deal still worked out. I know I heard you guys talking about how the Hornets going into the day at $19 million. And they're just signing into $30 million, so they have to make some moves, but it doesn't necessarily have to be with the Celtics, I don't think. And even still, they don't have all the assets that the Pacers have, so this, to me, is the worst-case scenario.
Yeah, this is I'm seeing it described by one and many, including our own Lou Merlone, as an epic fail. I'm kind of want to agree with that, like, this is just a bad move. This is Danny Ainge overplaying his hand, Rich. He should have just, like, why not take the asset if Indiana wants him badly enough when you had a chance right at 6:01 last night? Make the deal. Be happy you walked with something because now, nothing.
Awful. And, like, the Pacers had exactly what you needed in Miles Turner. And then I know it got kind of convoluted with Doug McDermott, T.J. Warren, Jeremy Lamb, a first-round pick. Who's first-round pick? A flip, a flop, all this nonsense. If it was just Miles Turner, and I know the money probably doesn't match up necessarily because of that, but that would have felt like a big win because you knew that Hayward still had so much control in all this. He could just walk away. He could have signed with anybody. As it turns out, he signed with the Hornets, but he didn't need the Celtics to do anything for him necessarily. And I don't know why Ainge was holding out. If those reports are true, that he was like, squabbling over first-round picks, that's insane because now you're left with nothing and you're going to have a much more difficult time improving your team now.
Well, Keith, Gary Washburn just tweets that Boston may still get something back in a sign-and-trade from Charlotte. May still, so he's not even sure. But if it's Cody Zeller, what are they getting in Zeller?
Nothing. They're getting nothing in Cody Zeller. I mean, just another big – so Tyler Zeller, his brother, was here, and Cody's better. Cody was a better college player. He played out at Indiana, and I believe he was a lottery pick. But again, Charlotte has such a bad roster, and it's Michael Jordan down there doesn't know what he's doing. The Celtics tried giving him 4 first-round picks a few years ago, and he wouldn't do it, and he drafted Frank Kaminsky. He just gave Terry Rozier all that money from a year ago. So Cody Zeller would be another rotational pick. Like I kind of like what Daniel Tice gave. And Cody Zeller's a little bit more offense than Tice, but I don't know. The idea of Miles Turner, I had really talked myself into, or we talked about guys like Stephen Adams or even Drummond, who's a much different player. All those guys interest me more. I mean, Cody Zeller's athletic. He can run up and down the floor with these guys, but I don't really like him.
Now, one of the Celtics honks I follow on Twitter is saying, rather have Zeller for 1 year 15 than Turner for 3 years 54 million. Do you agree with that?
No. And if I am right, Turner only has 2 years left at like 18 apiece. So he's 2 for 36. I could be wrong, but I believe he only has 2 years left anyway. So it'd be this year and next year. And Cody Zeller for 15, no. Like, it's an expiring contract. Okay, then what? Because you guys are also talking about what big-name free agent are necessarily going to just be able to sign here anyway. So, like, that expiring contract, I don't really care as much, whereas
Miles Turner's still young enough where I feel like he could be a part of the future formula with Tatum and Brown.
Yeah, and the good news is also, we'll just pile it on right now, Keith. Avery Bradley went to the Heat so that their awesome perimeter defense that they had against the Celtics just got better. So that's cool.
Yeah. They re-signed Dragic. They had Avery Bradley. And now you're looking around in the Eastern Conference, and where do the Celtics rank? Like, where are they at? Like, they're kind of slipping, five, six, somewhere in there, depending if Brooklyn can keep things together. Miami's better. Milwaukee's better. I don't know what Toronto and Indiana are going to end up doing, but it's not a great day to be a Celtics fan.
But now, Rich, before I let you go, you would not have signed Gordon Hayward to that deal if you're the Celtics, though, right? I mean, that's the other side of it. There's no way they were paying him that.
No, which that part of it is similar to Al Horford. Like, Al Horford last year, if you were just bringing him back for 1 year, I would have said, sure, great. Like, I didn't expect him to opt out. But then when you saw the money Philly gave him, I was like, absolutely not. He's not going to be good. I mean, Hayward wasn't good any of the years here. You think all of a sudden 4 years he's going to be able to be an all-star again? I that's a horrible, horrible signing by Charlotte, I think.
Oh, maybe it's revenge for plucking away Kemba.
Or taking Kemba. Keith, I know where you're headed, and it's to a very special place, and you're probably not even going to be able to resist cracking one or two just to deal with this news once you get to Treehouse. But shout out to the great people at Treehouse out there in Western Mass.
I'm on my way. If you're listening, Treehouse, I'm on my way.
Can't get it soon enough. Our buddy Dice Cota, the mailman on the Cape, just chipped in with, hey, if you want to look at it this way, it's basically we just traded Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier for Kemba Walker. Nice job, Celtics.
Yep, who they apparently were also trying to trade this offseason. So, things are going well over there.
Yikes. All right, Keith, we appreciate you hopping on for a couple minutes.
All right, no problem. See ya.
Thanks, bud. See ya.
Rich Keefe of the Dale and Keefe program here. Weekdays 10 to 2 on WEI.
He's going to be upset. Fiery on. Boy, the Pats better roll tomorrow because sports radio is going to blow the F up if we don't have something to celebrate around here. Wow, this is yikes.
Now, do you want more intel on Cody Zeller first? First of all, we don't even know if Cody Zeller's coming back, but that's the possibility.
My guy Dice just did a cursory check of their roster. Charlotte also has 1 year, $17 million left. This is a real person's name, I guess. Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, Bismack Biyombo, yeah.
Yeah, the center.
I think he's more of a defensive guy, right?
Well, I mean, I guess they'll take something. Again, Ken, isn't it a case now where if you're the Celtics, something is better than nothing?
Yeah.
What if guys like Zeller or Biyombo are dealt in side deals and you still get nothing? I mean, that would be meltdown central.
The producer of the OMF program, Tyler Devitt, is a hoops guy.
Yes,
does a great job for us on the website. He's been writing a ton of NBA stuff.
Great.
He said, Cody Zeller played at Indiana when he was the team manager there. Bigger Daniel Theis can throw it down, low to him, not as much of an offensive threat, can switch pick and rolls, offensive threat as a shooter, but I would rather have Miles Turner because of his ability to protect the rim. So that doesn't sound like a glowing review. Bigger Daniel Theis?
Well, I mean, I think Theis is great. I think Theis is wildly underrated.
But you would agree that if they would just run back the same front court they have this year, it's not good enough.
No, it's not good enough. And they also, Ken, they need bench depth. Now, I will say that the Naismith kid, I mean, if he can shoot the way that he shot in college, and it's obviously a hell of a leap he's got to make, and he doesn't have much time to get ready for the pro game. But if he can shoot, maybe he addresses that one of two needs that guys like me and Keith wanted desperately,
which was the
electric guy off the bench. You know, your J.J. Redick type, your Kyle Korver.
Duncan
just
Robinson,
like,
yeah,
just come out, just get off the bench and start raining threes.
All right, we're up against it. We are late. Continued reaction to the news that per Woj, Gordon Hayward has signed a 4-year, $120 million deal with the Charlotte Hornets. As of this moment, no word on anything in return at all coming back to Boston, but that shoe may still be to drop.
Can I leave you with some really good news as we go to break,
just
to feel great about everything we're doing? This from a friend who just texted it in the Albany area. Just so you know, Gordon Hayward's career earnings will be $330,478,911 by the time he's 33 years old.
My God. And 3 years here where they paid him $94 million for, like, nothing. I mean, we'll say nothing, but
sweet Jesus,
he played half the games. All right, more Gordon Hayward reaction on Laird and Fitzy up next.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
All right, going to go right to the phones for your Gordon Hayward reaction. Coming up in the 2 o'clock hour of the Laird and Fitzy Show, John Corral is your buddy from Locked On Celtics and Mass Live.
Yep.
Celtics guy of some knowledge. He'll join us. What time for him? 2:10?
2:10.
2:10 will join us for his take on this. But all we know at this point, the Adrian Wojnarowski ESPN report, free agent Gordon Hayward signing a four-year, $120 million deal with Charlotte, per a source. Not sure about a sign and trade, if that's involved at all, or if there's any return.
Okay, here we go. I'm just going to read random tweets. These are Boston media people, Celtics fans, etc. Ainge Blewett, Celtics left empty-handed, terrible management. Do Hayward and Sam Bradford have the same agent? What? This is unforgivable. This is from our Brian Barrett. Unforgivable if Turner and McDermott were on the table or a combination they're in. So glad the C's were pushing for Oladipo or Warren, two guys that make no sense. Ainge Blewett, what the hell are they doing? This is just...
Well, at this point, if they got nothing back, he's going to get roasted. To the point where I don't know that he would get fired, but if it came down to this affecting Tatum signing the max deal, do you think it could get that bad? That Tatum would just look at this and say, this is a mess.
Like, I didn't even think about that. That he may just look at this and be like, you know what? I'll play out my final 2 years and go Lake Show.
That would be obviously the worst case scenario.
And by the way, they have absolutely crushed it in free agency.
Oh, Lakers?
The Lakers, yeah. You know, the reigning world champions.
Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is probably more good news for Miami. They lose Jay Crowder to Phoenix, 3 years and $30 million, addition by subtraction, and they picked up Avery Bradley. So the Heat get better. Let's go to Terrence in Dorchester to start. Hi, Terrence.
How you doing, guys? Right now, I'm crying tears of joy.
Oh.
I did not like Gordon Hayward with the Celtics, and it's just because if it wasn't one thing, it was another. Like, the first year, he plays 5 minutes and then misses the whole season and gets $33 million for nothing. The second year, he comes back, and he's a shell of himself. And in the third year, when he was doing pretty good, he broke his hand. He sprained his foot in the bubble. Like, it was just, if it wasn't one thing, it was another. And I don't feel bad for him because he knew what it was when he signed here. He knew there was Jaylen Brown. He knew it was Jason Tatum. And he signed up to play with Isaiah Thomas, not Kyrie Irving. But Isaiah Thomas was still a ball-dominant guard who averaged like 30. Like, he knew he was going to be like a third option. And he had two players at his same position with higher trajectories who was better than him in high school, college, and so far in the pros. Like, I know it sucks. And if Miles Turner and Doug McDermott was on the table and Danny Ainge said no to that, then he needs to be drug tested. But, I don't know. I don't know what to say, guys. But I am kind of happy we got this about it here. But, I don't understand it. Like, we gave him a deadline extension. Like, we're treating Gordon Hayward, a one-time All-Star, like he's Giannis. Or somebody who matters, really matters. Like, we got two guys that play your position better than you and are at least 5 years younger than you. Like, goodbye and good riddance.
Thanks, Terrence. Let's go to Kevin in New York City. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are we going?
How are you, buddy?
I'm just so disappointed in Boston's basketball organization right now. I don't understand what direction our team is going in. First of all, last season, we had no clear direction of who was the leader in the playoffs. Some days Kemba thought he was the man. Some days Tatum thought he was the man whenever he wasn't playing like a B word. I just don't understand. I want Danny Ainge to solve our big man issues. Get us somebody down there who could grab rebounds whenever people shoot. And that's all I want. I don't know. What are we doing? Which is accumulating short guys. I don't get Danny Ainge. I think his run is done. I think every other team has had a better offseason than us. I can't name one team that has done anything worse than what we have done this offseason so far. I don't agree with nothing Danny Ainge has done other than Naismith, whatever that guy's name is. He's like a great three-point shooter. That's the only thing I like about this offseason, but we haven't done anything to address our issues. As a matter of fact, the only thing I'm happy about is that they got rid of Wanamaker. That's the only thing.
Which he might still be back. Who knows at this point?
So that's what we're celebrating today, Kevin. Is that how far down the ladder we've fallen?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm celebrating right now. Is that we got rid of Wanamaker.
At two, Kevin. All right, Kevin. Man. Thanks.
I mean, but the biggest thing is, it's not like they can spend like it was spun initially. They would have flexibility with Gordon Hayward leaving. If you will the sign and trade, and you could use obviously get some assets and then use that $9 million that would be freed up in the mid-level exception. But in this case, Fitzy, you can't spend the $34 million that he was going to play for. Unfortunately, they don't have that money to just go out and spend on a free agent, even if there was somebody of his caliber out there to get. So it's just a total wash. I mean, Ken,
Keefe is our biggest basketball guy on staff, we'll say. I enjoy the Celtics as much as anyone else. I don't know basketball the way that I know football, but just sitting on the outside, a sports guy yourself, what would you have said would be the Celtics' top two or three priorities in the offseason?
Well, Tatum's number one.
Yep.
Sign Tatum.
Okay.
And get a big man.
Yep, and maybe a three-point shooter.
Yeah. Yep.
They've addressed
one
of three.
In the draft.
One of three.
We think.
It seems.
You can't count on rookies necessarily, but these guys seem like NBA-ready type.
So maybe one out of three so far.
I'm sure they'll get a big man of some kind. Thanks. You know, they could go out and sign somebody on the market. It's just, you know, what the caliber is going to be. Brian in Maine, next up. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going? First and foremost, I'd like to say, Fitzy, I love you, man.
Hey, Brian, I love you too, pal. Thank you, guy.
Big Pats fan. But anyways, Celtics, Danny Ainge, I mean, I'm honestly speechless right now. I mean, yeah, Gordon Hayward, I'm happy he's gone. But, I mean, we didn't even at least get a bag of peanuts for him at this point.
Not like, even circus peanuts.
What are we doing? All right?
I know.
They might get Cody Zeller. They might get Cody Zeller.
Or Bismack
Biyombo.
Hey, like I said, I'll take anything. I mean, take the guy from Walmart. That's what the Patriots do sometimes, so why not?
Yeah.
Why not bring it to the Celtics? Ugh. But, I mean, Danny Ainge, it's just a bad look. It's a bad look right now, and he just looks like a clown. But anyways, I just want to keep it short and sweet. You guys have a wonderful day.
All right, Brian.
Thanks. You too, Brian. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Obviously, a bunch more calls to get to. We'll get your guy, John Corrales, in, though, for his Celtics expertise. At the other side of this pause, we're here until 4 o'clock. Plenty of time to talk all things Gordon Hayward here throughout the show, which is the big breaking news. On to Charlotte. 4 years, $120 million per Woj. This is Laird and Fitzy.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.